Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, so Kevin Warren is going to join us in our studio in an hour from right now. It is a crazy next, 30 hours or so.
Time's a draft kickoff, so to speak,
six,
tomorrow.
I think. Six. Is the first pick at six, or do the Bears go on the clock at six?
I thought it was seven, actually.
Is it seven?
I thought I saw that the other day, is that they're... Now, coverage will begin at 6, but I'm pretty
sure... The first pick will be made at 7 is what you're saying?
I thought I saw that yesterday.
Double-check that, though. Make sure that's
right. What if the Bears trade the pick? Will they add time to it?
You stop that. Okay. I mean, how dare you? You feed the beast.
I know. It's crazy. See also that they're like, you know, now they're floating rumors out there that the Chargers may be interested in a quarterback.
Didn't Shefty shoot that down again today?
I assume he's got a pipeline into the office of the Chargers, considering
he's a Michigan guy and
Harbaugh's.
Yeah, like the odds have gone like significantly down on the Chargers taking a quarterback with their first pick.
Where are the odds at now with number two? I know that Jaden Daniels was the prohibitive favorite.
He's like
there.
Very significant. I think it's like -350 or -450.
Like you could have gotten that there was a time when you could have gotten like -110 on that.
And he had the first pick tomorrow, round one, is at 8 p.m. Eastern, so 7
wow,
central.
Wow, okay. We will have all of that, obviously, where we'll be with Joniak and Thayer after White Sox baseball. And then Joniak and Thayer will have a special Bears weekly, and they'll be hosting our draft coverage. Cap is going to be at Soldier Field, too.
Running around with his pants off, for sure.
Yeah, I know Deion's going to be in Detroit. Courtney's going to be at Hallis Hall. We're going to have everything covered for you. So it's going to be a fantastic night. If you're at Soldier Field, come on up and say hello to us. And again, Kevin Warren will be in our studio coming up here in an hour. Ryan Clark, who had the podcast and was with Caleb Williams not too long ago in his condo, is going to join us at 4:30. We want to pick his brain on what that was like. And, you know, he has seen Caleb play, and he's been a big supporter of Caleb Williams. So Ryan Clark is going to join us at 4:30. 332-3776 is we're talking about the news of the day, the Bears press conference that was held about 4 hours ago at Soldier Field, of them trying to get the stadium deal done. The Cliff Notes version is this is going to be a project of the stadium and then the infrastructure surrounding the area that's going to cost well over $4 billion. I believe the stadium itself is going to have a price tag of over $3 billion. And then, like, fixing the roads and everything around the area is going to have a price tag of about $1 billion. And they're hoping to get some federal money on that and to help with that. But the stadium itself is going to have a price tag of about $3 billion.
If, in fact, they came to an agreement where everything stadium-related was financed by the Bears privately, and the other money for the other stuff, the infrastructure, the roads, all the other things that were in that fantastic set of renderings were covered by public funding, would you be more willing to say, hey, I'm in?
I think the optics would look better.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they're like, look.
What's an extra $700 million?
Like, look, they're going to, if they said to us, and they dialed it up where an optics are everything in a lot of times.
Absolutely.
And they said, here, football part, stadium part, stuff inside, we're going to get our PSL money, we're going to get this and we're going to get that, and we're going to get our advertisement dollar. Football stuff, we've got.
Yes.
All the other stuff, though, that will be needed to make the area more inviting and to be able to do this and to help the city as a whole, the museum campus as a whole, the roads and we're going
bathrooms.
To need the bathrooms. Yeah, come on down for our bathrooms. We're going to need the help of state funding and federal funding for that because it needs help anyway.
Right. Now,
I think
it will benefit the Bears,
yeah.
But it's going to, it needs to be done anyway.
Yeah.
That to me would be a more acceptable conversation.
I think that
maybe that's where the compromise will be.
Who knows? And maybe that's why they're starting here, and then they're maybe willing to go
hey,
there.
Listen,
and
how do you, when you do a negotiation, you don't walk in and say, hey, guess what?
We got the money.
We got all of it. $5 million. We're going to put that. No, you say, I got 2.3. I'm going to put in, and the rest is going to come here. And then guess what happened?
Yeah, we'll see.
We come to an agreement in the middle.
Did you just whistle?
We come right here in the middle.
You usually don't do that.
Well, you know what? I got to be in my bonnet because I have my eye on that Arlington Heights property, and Eddie O's going to be my partner.
Being your bonnet.
He's going to be my partner.
Tim in Wheaton. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. First off, I want to say I do agree with Tom. I think that there's better than a 50% chance that this gets done, regardless of how distasteful this might have gone off today and ill-planned and poorly executed. I think things do just get done. I'm not saying it's 100%, but I think it's better than 50% that they will get this done. But I think it also reflects on, you know, the way they're going about it is the fact that the McCaskey family is really second-tier wealth when it comes to NFL owners. And I say that because if you look at SoFi, I'm originally from the state of Missouri, so I'm familiar with Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams. He moved him from St. Louis. He went out to L.A., and he sunk all his money into building that, but it's because he had it. He's got billions of his own. He's married to one of the right. Walmart daughters. So they've got, you know, probably around $20 billion in wealth. And it was reported that his plan was to sink money into that SoFi, build it up, have some good agreements, but then also have a stake in the businesses around there to try to make the money back or make additional money. I think the McCaskeys may just not have enough to fit the whole bill. And this is the compromise. It tries to get, you know, shoehorned in. It's distasteful, but I think that that's the only play that they can make. I don't think that they can afford to do the whole thing.
My question, Tim, would to that would be, why not go to the private markets as opposed to the public market? Because when you go to the public market for funding, you're going to get pushback. If you go to the private market and you offer somebody an opportunity to get in on this deal, I would think that that would make that agreement much more likely and much more well received.
I agree with that. I wonder if it's just not as receptive to the private market around there, or if they feel they can't make their money back, or they feel that there's just going to be a debt that's going to be a long time to get their money back. That's the only thing I can say. I think in terms of trying to get things done short term, though, it just sounds to me that was the card that they played. And I've heard it talked about before that there's levels of wealth in the NFL, and that you almost have to be a mega wealthy person. And I don't think the McCaskeys are in that category. And I think that they may just see the opportunity to play on the city. You know, there was a lot of talk about bringing in local jobs and all this thing. You know, it's kind of a concerted thing and helping the city. You know, a lot of people say the city could use money going other places, and I totally agree. When they spin things, though, with, you know, union jobs for diverse people in the community and that sort of thing, it sounds kind of orchestrated, and I just think that's the card they're playing.
Thanks, Tim, for the call.
Appreciate it.
Did you hear the part, too, that the that Soldier Field or the new stadium is going to be, it's turf field? Not grass.
Really? I did not hear that. Yeah. I'd written that down as to ask Kevin Warren, but that was asked today. I didn't hear the answer.
Yeah, or at least it was found out afterwards. I don't know if they announced it in the press conference.
Now I have seen recent studies, okay? Like, I'm a grass guy. I would vote for grass all day long. I have seen recent studies that say, look, the field turf stuff, the injuries in recent years, the comparisons, there's really... it's negligible.
Well, we need to pitch our idea. Maybe Kevin Warren hasn't heard our idea of floating barge grass and then wheel it in when the season turns.
We are really going to compromise our integrity in this interview, aren't we?
When haven't we?
It's a fair question.
Mark on 294, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mark?
Hey, I got a couple things. One, if you want public financing for either the White Sox or the Bears, then open your books. Open your books. Show us that you can't afford to pay for the whole thing yourself. And then we'll talk about giving you public financing. Because everybody else does. Everybody who comes here, Boeing, whatever, they gave all this stuff to. They're a public entity. You can see their books. You can find out what's going on.
Major League Baseball doesn't open their books, right? And Major League Baseball hasn't been willing to do that, at least to their partners, which would be the players.
The only team is the Atlanta Braves because they're publicly traded, so they have to.
I would think that, listen, we're the Bears. Look at my books. I got nothing to hide. Look at my books.
You'd think so.
That's the way I would feel. And listen, I know that McCaskey's, look, they are asset rich and probably cash poor. Not poor, but you know what I'm saying. Like the
you said the, asset.
Asset, oh. Yeah. The vast, and by vast, I mean all of their wealth is the value of their team. There are others like David Tepper who bought the Carolina Panthers and has then proceeded to act like a fool in a lot of instances. Or Stan Kroenke. There are others that come into this game with, you know, billions of dollars of wealth already made. That's not the case with our owners. If it took opening my books to get public funding, I wouldn't, especially if I was the McCaskies, I wouldn't be opposed to that, knowing that I need some help to finance this project. I'm still, like, my question to Kevin is going to be, obviously, at some point, if I don't forget, is going to be, you know, can you find more private financing and finance the football portion of this project by yourself?
Yeah.
And make it more, there would be a greater appetite, I would think, for the citizens of this city if, in fact, the majority of the football portion of this project was funded by the Bears or their investors.
All right. So Kevin Warren is going to join us in about 45 minutes in our studio. Coming up at 4:30, Ryan Clark to talk some football and draft and Caleb Williams. He had a sit down with Caleb Williams that was spectacular on his podcast. And all your phone calls at 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at T Waddle 87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Do da dippity.
You can get with this. We're trying to figure out a mystery, boys. Is there a report that Caleb is getting a silver nail for the draft? Did I read that somewhere?
I want to say Patrick Finley. Mention something.
So Cap sent us a text.
I can't tell if that's Cap's hand or Caleb's hand.
And he wrote, "Game effing on, man. The world is about to change in this town." And it's a picture of a left hand and the index.
No, that's a right hand. Come on.
Oh, that's a pinky?
Yeah, what the hell did you think that was?
That is weird. Okay.
Finley tweeted out.
That is the right hand. Yeah, I was looking at it weird.
Finley tweeted out, "Caleb will paint his right pinky nail silver for the draft. It'll match the outfits worn by him and his girlfriend."
Which is cool, but I think this is Cap's hand and he's mimicking
it. Is Cap mimicking it?
So I think so.
Cap sent us a picture of someone getting their pinky finger on their right hand.
That would be total
painted
Cap.
Silver.
That would be total Cap move.
Is this or did he send us a picture of Caleb getting? I mean,
I wonder if it's Shea.
This is not Shea's hand.
It's not.
I don't think so. That hand looks way too wrinkled to be Caleb Williams's hand, doesn't it? Doesn't it look too wrinkled?
I don't know. I don't know.
Cap's a nail painter now. Is that what
Didn't
we're?
Did he say earlier in the week he wasn't going to paint his nails?
Yeah, I thought he said today. I thought I heard that. All right.
He wasn't going to.
I heard it recently.
I heard it earlier in the week. I know for sure.
All right, maybe that is Caleb's hand.
Is Caleb's hand on Twitter getting painted? Did he show that on?
I think he met select media today. Let me look.
This is a picture of him getting
his nail, his right pinky, painted silver. I don't know.
Who is
right
that?
There. Whose hand do you think that is? That's a little wrinkled, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I said. I think it's a little wrinkled.
Capped hands, though. So it's tough. I can't tell.
Does he have a tanning bed? Cap doesn't have a tanning bed in his house, does he?
I don't know.
I know Yurko does. Does it still work?
There's a silver nail.
Does Yurko still use his tanning bed, or did he lose that in the agreement?
I think he lost
agreement?
It. Yeah, I think he lost it in the agreement. All right, so that's in.
Oh, that's Cap's hand.
That is Cap's hand.
Abdallah said there's a video on his Instagram, and yeah. I'm looking at it right now. If you check his story, he's getting his nails done right now.
What is he, 12? I mean,
I think he turns 13 like in a month.
So he just heard that he's getting the silver nail on the pinky of his right hand for the draft. So he went and he did the same thing.
Let me ask you a question.
He's 60-something.
Why doesn't he just do it himself instead of going, I believe this is at Mario Tricosi's salon, probably right out there.
He's an amateur. He's got to get it professionally done if he's going to do it. I respect that.
Really?
Yeah.
How much do you think that costs at Mario Tricosi?
$60.
I was just going to say $60.
$60. I mean, that's the ripoff.
Is he just doing the pinky?
Well, if he's mimicking Caleb, isn't that what Caleb's doing?
That's what's reported, like, that Caleb is doing just the pinky silver.
Hmm. All right.
I guess whatever you want.
I don't care.
I heard you this morning say it doesn't bother you either way.
No.
DJ on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, DJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you been?
Hey, good.
Hey, Steve Wizzle.
Yeah?
You're our fair insider.
I am?
I'm thinking that this is a play. All this whole, you know, we got to get a stadium. I think it's a play for them to sell the team, because for a long time there hasn't been a lot of interest. It's been a lot of mismanagement. And nobody is going to buy that team without them owning their own stadium. So I really think that they're looking to get out of the football business and, you know, take their $5-6 million, because that's how much that team is going to sell for with the brand new stadium.
Well, the deal, real quick, DJ, the deal was that they're going to invest $2.3 billion of their own money, but it's going to ultimately be publicly owned. It's a revenue split, is what I mean. Listen, you're going to put in $2.3 billion, which I believe is going to give them the right to receive revenue from non-football related stuff that goes on.
Yeah, so. which is what they need, because All you're getting is your 8-9 games a season, and that's it. But then all those other revenue generating activities, concerts and so forth, are costing you money, because you got to re-turf the field, and the league and the players are complaining. So I really think that they're looking to get out of the football business and like I say, take. I think that money is gonna. I think there's gonna be somebody private who, like you were talking about, go more to the private. Somebody's gonna come up with a good chunk of that money. So whoever buys the team is gonna have to. Whoever that private person is that puts in the pot is gonna get more out.
Yeah, that's an interesting conspiracy.
Well, there's no question, DJ, that if and when they do decide to sell the team, having some portion of ownership of a new stadium is going to enhance the value of the asset.
Yep. Sure. All right. So we're going to talk to Kevin Warren in studio at about 5 o'clock. Coming up next, Ryan Clark, his thoughts on Caleb Williams. He sat down with him for a while in his pad in California. We'll get his thoughts coming up next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I watched the pro day, mm-hmm. and it was extremely strategic. Mm-hmm. A lot of times a pro day is, okay, let me let him do the things that are eye-popping. We saw it with who is it? Zach Wilson. He's rolling to the left, throwing across his body. We see all those things. I've watched you do those things in live time. Yep. So your pro day wasn't about that. It was about your feet. It was showing that you could throw.
It was going back to the trolling kind of smart-ass me, because everybody wants to. If you go look at the stats, and I have a screenshot of it. If you go look at the stats, and on average, I am the most dead center even dude for scrambling and throwing in the pocket. It's just, I make more highlights. And so that's what they show. But dead even stat of scramble to pocket, I am the most dead even on the farthest end of the spectrum from anybody else. As we know, X and Y axis, I am the farthest from all of them in every single way. And so to all of the people, I can do anything and everything as I want and as my team needs. And whatever it takes to win a game.
That's right. Tomorrow's going to be the day. Caleb Williams on the Pivot Podcast with Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder.
I was very entertained by it. It was long. It was an hour and 10 minutes, and I skipped a couple of things, but for the most part, very impressed with how Caleb Williams handled himself. I think there's a maturity there that is unique to someone his age and who has been in the limelight in the manner which he has.
That was the in response to what he did on his pro day.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
About like what he wanted to do, because he wanted to show the throws that he can make from the pocket. He wanted to do it simple. Like, he didn't want to do what who's the player that the Jets drafted?
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. Yeah. Remember, Zach Wilson was doing all those rollouts and crazy throws. He said, like, those are on highlights, and he wanted to show people, even though half of his throws do come from the pocket, but all the highlights out there of him doing off-platform throws, he just wanted to show the footwork from the pocket. And, like,
To me, that's more important. Like, I know he can thrive outside the pocket and off platform. You're not going to be able to do that as regularly and be as successful at the NFL level as you can at the collegiate level. So my interest is more in, can he play on time? Can he play in structure? Can he adapt to the NFL game, which I believe he can? But I think it's really cool that he referenced that. He said, look, I mean, you see all of these wild scrambling throws because it's what gets everyone's attention. Sure. Go back and look at all the film where I do play on time and I do play from the pocket.
Yeah, and the Spencer Rattler competition or lack of competition was really good from his Oklahoma days. I know Joniak thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
But he's all ball, and we played a lot of those from the pivot, and it was really great that we were able to get Ryan Clark to come on. His podcast is very, very good. The work that he does on ESPN is outstanding. He's going to be in Detroit if he's not there already. And it is our pleasure to welcome on Ryan Clark on Waddle and Sylvie on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Ryan, how you feeling today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're outstanding. It was a really a great introspective interview that you did with Caleb Williams.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been, I think that's been the best part about having an opportunity to sit down with some of our guests on the pivot. I think you have these perceptions when you walk into the room with them, but they get an opportunity, you know, during an extensive conversation to, you know, tell you who they are from their own perspective. And I really learned a lot about Caleb, and I think it changed some of the things I'd heard from the outside that had made me have, you know, certain narratives in my head about him.
What was the biggest one? What narrative did you have in your head, and what did he change your mind most about?
I think the biggest thing was people have the thing you've heard that he has to prove that a locker room will accept him, prove that he can be a leader. He even said it when he was talking to Lewis Riddick at his pro day. He says, you know, I wanted to show people that I can interact with my guys and that I can just be one of the dudes and be a good teammate. Whereas when you listen to him talk, and one of his closest friends, who's a wide receiver on USC, is actually living with him as he trains to get ready to go into OTAs, and you could see that he was a leader. You could see that he's extremely aware of the things people say about him. You can see that he understands the things he needs to prove or disprove. The other thing I learned is he has a self-assuredness that not many people at his age have. Think about the criticism, the scrutiny that Caleb Williams has been under since probably, maybe not even winning the Heisman, since going into Oklahoma to battle or not battle Spencer Rattler, since winning that job, transferring to USC, and obviously being the projected number one overall pick since the beginning of this season.
Like, this kid has constantly thrown things in negativity, and he's battled through those, played extremely well, and really not addressed much of it. I just felt like he was a very mature individual, and people haven't given him a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, I would say, Ryan, what I took, there were so many things I took from the interview you guys did with him. He's genuine and he's authentic. And as somebody who lived in a huddle and was a leader inside those defensive huddles yourself, do you believe that his personality will resonate with his teammates at the NFL level?
You know what? So I'm going to dispel something here. I don't think it has to.
Right.
Right. Like the people who haven't been in great locker rooms often say this, often say, you know, I wonder how his personality is going to gel. If he plays well, it's going to gel just fine. If Caleb Williams goes out and wins a lot of football games and plays hard and puts his hand in the pile and comes to work every day like a professional should, like the quarterback of a winning football team should, everybody's going to like him. Like, I was a man. I had three kids very early. I wasn't hanging out with the rookie quarterback anyway. I didn't need to like his personality. I need to like the way he played football.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, that's something that's overrated and something that people who can't turn on the film and say either he can do it or he can't do it try to use to, I guess, critique or criticize the guy. As long as he's not like a total butthole, it's going to be fine. You know why? Because I played with total buttholes that were very good at football, and we never had a problem.
Right.
You know why? Because, like, and I had, this is my favorite thing. All my friends weren't my teammates, and all my teammates weren't my friends.
That's great. I mean, it's great perspective for sure. Do you believe, like, the collegiate life has changed? Do you believe the element of NIL and him already being young and rich and famous will help his adjustment at the next level, or you think it doesn't matter?
I don't think the money part matters as much, you know. I think the fame part is important because it's the scrutiny that you will be under as the number one overall pick. You know, like back in the day, even if you were a great college player, you probably didn't get the attention or you didn't get to hear or see as much negativity as these kids do now with social media, right? Like if somebody in New Orleans hated Peyton Manning while he was at Tennessee, it didn't matter because Peyton Manning was never going to see it.
Right.
If there was something said on the radio in Idaho about Ryan Leaf at Washington State, he wasn't going to hear it, even though those places are close. Like, it's just not how it works. And so whereas now, if you get mad because Caleb Williams throws a touchdown against Utah, you can get right on and say whatever you want to say about him. You can talk about his fingernails. You can talk about his pink iPhone case. You can say all these things you want to say. And to have to deal with that throughout your college career for him, and now when you step up and you do have the scrutiny of being the number one overall pick, truly for this kid, how much different is it going to be? So I do believe that part prepares you for some of the outside noise.
Yeah. Who is the biggest butthole you played with?
Oh, I won't do nobody like that.
You knew I had to ask.
No, that's no problem. That's the job.
So you mentioned like a couple of the hot button topics. We've gotten them all, Ryan, as we've led up to this. And you know our town. We've been starving. We're thirsty in this town for the quarterback. So we've gotten it all. We've gotten he's a diva. He paints his nails. The phone case. And then you guys got a long, great answer from Caleb about the crying after the game. What people forget about that game is he threw for three touchdowns, ran for another, didn't throw for an interception, and threw for over 300 yards. What was your thought about his answer? And as a guy who played, what is your thought about someone going into the crowd and crying in his mom's arms?
Well, the crowd thing was different because I just felt like I hadn't seen it, you know. But I remember, and I can't even remember crying, you know, in the league or anything like that. But I remember my last game in high school. I was obviously a big-time recruit. I was headed to LSU. And all of these kids on my team are crying because they're not going to play football anymore or because we lost. And I wasn't crying. And then my mom walks over, and I go to hug my mom,
and I just break down, you know. And she tells me, she was like, I knew this would happen. I think that's just something you share with your mother. That's a bond that you have. What I liked most about it was that he said, I've learned now. Right? He said, there's a time and a place for everything. He said, am I still going to cry? Absolutely. He said, because winning and losing matters to me. Don't you want your quarterback to be like that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't you want your quarterback to take losses hard? Don't you want your quarterback to go watch the film on Monday morning after a win and critique more of what he did wrong than what he did right? No. He's a guy who's learned, okay, people will scrutinize and criticize anything, so let me be smart. And if I'm going to have these emotions, let me do this at home. Let me do this in my locker room. I think it's all a part of a process. But to have people criticize you in that manner or nitpick you in that manner, it simply just says how good you actually are at something. Because nobody cares about the guy playing quarterback at the D3 school that can't throw the football 10 yards. They care about you because you're special. And I think he's learned that and understands that.
On that note, Ryan, if you had the first overall pick in the draft and your team needed a quarterback, who would you select?
Caleb Williams.
Yep.
I've said this the whole time. And I'm obviously extremely close to Jaden Daniels. He committed to Arizona State the same year as my son did. So I've known him, you know, to now going on what feels like, what, 5-6 years. I've watched him grow. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. There's something to me about people who are really, really good the first time you see them, right? Don't get me wrong. Like, you can learn things and you can grow, and that takes work and that takes effort. But if from the first time you ever touched a football field at a certain level, you had it, that matters to me. Did Caleb Williams get better? Absolutely. But he had a baseline level of quarterback play that was higher than many people we ever see play this game. And, you know, I heard you guys as I was coming on talk about some of, like, the off-schedule things and his answer for that. Here is what I know. If you want to tell a guy, hey, as soon as you catch this ball, I want you to throw this slant if it's open, you can teach most high-level quarterbacks that. What you can't teach them is if your defense can't stop a nosebleed, which USC couldn't, if your wide receivers can't create separation, which USC couldn't, and if your scheme wasn't developed enough where there was adjustments off of those things to help people get open, which it wasn't, you can't teach people, hey, just go be special and go be the best player on the field whenever we need you to. And for 98% of the time of his college career, Caleb Williams did that.
Do you like the infrastructure that Ryan Poles has built for this young man as he steps in as the starting quarterback for this franchise?
I do. I liken it to a first-time parent. Right? I don't know, you know, how many kids you guys have.
I got four.
If you have kids.
Yeah.
Right, I have three. Do you remember the preparation for the first kid as opposed to the fourth one?
Right. Oh, yeah. First right. one for me happened when we were 25. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. By the time we had the fourth one, I could have delivered that child myself.
Right. But also, you needed a lot less preparation.
Yes.
Right. By the time you get to the fourth one, you understand it. Whereas Ryan Poles is now having his first opportunity to draft a guy and develop that guy. And now with Shane Waldron, he said, let me create a space for him where I can nurture him. Let me give him two good veteran wide receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Let me go get a versatile running back in DeAndre Swift who can both catch the ball and take some of the pressure off of Caleb by handing it off. Let me have a Cole Kmet who can stretch the field and be a touchdown scorer in the red zone. Let me have a defense who over the last half of the year was one of the top defenses in the league once we acquired Montez Sweat. Let me do all of these things to give this kid an opportunity to have success. And I think Ryan Poles has done an extremely good job of that. And now you're going to sit him with Shane Waldron and say, what do you do best? What feels most comfortable for you? And here is how we want to use that in our offense, much like we saw him do with Geno Smith, whose career he helped resurrect.
Ryan Clark joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So can you explain to the listeners of your reaction who may not have seen the pivot of when you walked in to his apartment or condo, whatever that was, your reaction as a former NFL player to walking into a guy's place who hasn't even played a down in the NFL yet?
Hell, I don't live like that now, guys. I played freaking 13 years, and I've been on TV for a decade. No, I mean, I think it was one of those things where reality truly set in on the difference in between the college life now and the college life in 2001, which was my last season. The way that NIL works, some of what these bigger universities can do for top-notch elite players. And, you know, the difficulty, it has to be in being motivated to go for college football on Saturday when you have a sports car and a high-rise of Los Angeles, but in the heart of the city. It was really just one of those moments where...
Wanted to see if it would come back.
We lost it.
Yeah. Let's see if we could reestablish. We were almost at the end anyway. But Ryan Clark joining us.
I thought the best piece of advice they gave, Caleb, was when I think it was Ryan said to Caleb, no, don't go out with Channing Crowder. Crowder was trying to say, hey, let me take you out somewhere. And I think Ryan's best piece of advice, no.
Right.
You're good.
Continue with the Lego parties.
Exactly.
Yeah, stay in.
Yeah.
Think don't about ball.
Don't participate in that.
It's all ball first.
Yes.
And that's okay with us.
Absolutely. It's great.
Yeah. Staying in Lake Forest.
Yep. Amen.
We don't need that.
No. There's nothing in Lake Forest to do anyway. Just hang out.
Exactly. Right. Go out, get a good dinner.
Right.
Everything like that. So Kevin Warren's going to join us here in about less than 15 minutes. Talk about the stadium, your questions and everything like that. We've gotten a lot of... requests from you guys too to ask him questions, and then we'll finish up here with Ryan Clark. But 312-332-3776. I think Ryan's in Detroit.
I think
for
so.
The draft.
I think so.
Yeah,
it's going to be a fun night. It really is from our perspective. I mean, I can't remember the last time. I know I was speechless when Ryan Pace traded up and they drafted Mitch. I don't expect any surprise at one, obviously, but at nine, there is still some tremendous intrigue. And look, again, I think because there may be a run on quarterbacks, the Bears find themselves in the manner in which I look at it, drafting fifth overall after those quarterbacks are taken, which guarantees them, in my mind, somebody that can have a serious impact as a rookie.
I've seen a little bit of everything here in the last day about the Bears doing stuff. I've seen guys who believe they could trade down because a lot of teams now are rumored to trade up. I've seen them, you know, staying in a lot of, as you heard in our, if you missed the reporters, the round table too yesterday, it's something that you got to grab on YouTube or on our podcast, and it's youtube.com/@ Waddle and Sylvie. And most of our reporters thought that they would get Adunze. So I see a lot of people think Adunze. I've seen others think that they could trade up for somebody, maybe Joe Alt, maybe Marvin Harrison.
Adunze would be my pick. It would be my preference, and it would be my prediction. If they can walk out of this draft tomorrow night with Caleb and Rome Adunze, Abby,
what's two? So Adunze is number one. Malik Neighbors,
yeah. If Neighbors,
one of the two wide receivers,
fall to him,
because Harrison's not falling to them.
No, I don't believe so. Look, maybe Joe Waltz finds his way at nine. I don't know, but my money would be on Adunze being available there, and that they wouldn't pass up the opportunity to give Caleb even more help as a young quarterback in the league.
All right, let's take some calls. It looks like we just lost contact with Ryan Clark. That's fine. Gave us some really good stuff on Caleb Williams. And check out the
interview
on the Pivot Podcast.
It's worth your time, for sure.
Yeah, really, really good. Let's finish out these calls on the stadium. Let's go to Bill in Grays Lake. Billy, you're on ESPN 1000 with Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Bill?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love you guys.
Appreciate it.
I see this as a real, as far as the stadium goes, I see this as a real opportunity for Chicago. Isn't the taxes paid through hotel tax?
Hotel tax.
Yeah,
but,
so
but unfortunately, Bill, I think what people have said is because of whether it was the pandemic or a lack of growth recently, the hotel tax wasn't enough to actually cover the cost of the the actual payments, and they ultimately all they were doing was paying interest on the original
loan. They're kicking the can down the road.
Yeah,
Ryan, we got Ryan Clark back, by the way.
I'm actually, guys, I was just calling back to say thank you. I'm actually going through another tunnel. I'm in the city.
All right.
Trying to get out of here and head to Detroit.
All right.
I didn't want to leave you guys hanging like that.
Yeah,
so
we appreciate
to say thank you.
You
so much.
Thank you.
You guys have a great one.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate
look how polite that is.
Absolutely.
Ryan Clark, check out the Pivot podcast. It's nice of him to do that. And the latest on Caleb Williams, our 10 minutes. Again, with him, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder. I know one of my good friends, Mark Hockman, who is from Highland Park, does a show with Channing Crowder in Miami.
He's a character.
He is. Yeah.
I mean that in a good way.
Yes. Yes. Very, very good at what they do, those guys down there.
Did he do the show, too, with Jay? Was he on that show with Ryan as well? The Inside the NFL, was that what it was? It was in the on the CW.
For next time we have him on, we got to ask him.
Yeah.
Did he have a falling out too with Brandon Marshall?
I don't know.
Did Ryan Clark have one?
I'm not sure. Brandon has had a falling out with
everybody.
Most guys,
At
some point, you're going to. Have an interaction with Brandon Marshall over the course of a decent period of time,
but he won't return our calls now.
That's
it's a falling out, though.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Kind of a falling out, directly or indirectly.
But there was no.
You're talking
real
about Jay or Brandon?
Brandon. Well, neither will return our calls now. But there was no actual smoking gun.
No, I didn't.
There was no situation. What do we got here? What are you typing here?
I'll just say it. Adam Schefter is reporting that Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson and wide receiver T. Higgins have requested a trade.
Well, T. Higgins wanted to get paid, and they franchise tagged him.
Hasn't he requested a trade a couple of different times this offseason?
Yes, he has. Another request has been made.
Trey Hendricks is
request denied.
Hendrickson is one of the better, less celebrated players in the league. Fantastic pass rusher. I just saw Kevin Warren walk into the building.
Oh, okay.
So
you want it? Should we? Let's take a timeout now.
Yeah.
Then, okay.
Why don't we do that?
So when we come back, the Bears president Kevin Warren, busy day today over at Soldier Field. Will this thing get built? What is his reaction going to be when he sees the skepticism of our fans who don't believe that the stadium is going to get built? He'll answer a lot of our questions about this. It's all coming up next.